honestly, it's just taking that first step, you know. It's sort of just going back to working on your own bike. You know, if you see a problem, you identify a problem or, you know, something that could be done, you know, and you don't know how to do it, just doing the legwork to kind of figure that out and then just taking that first step. And
the Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 188 of Life in Motion. I've got Matt with me from Two Bikes Knoxville. They're all about fostering opportunity, sustainability, and community through bicycles. I'm excited to hear a story and how they're sharing the love for bikes with others. Matt, thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to dive in to what you all are doing. And it seems like some really awesome programs that you have going on. But before we get into that, let's kind of start with, you know, kind of your origin story, your background, you know, where you grew up, kind of how did you get into biking in the first place? Kind of what led you down this path?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Matthew Zing, or Matt Zing. I was born here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I pretty much, you know, always grew up around bikes. My dad raced amateur road bikes, and you know, they were a pretty large part of my life, even more so than I think, like, you know, I think bikes are a large part of any kid's life, you know, to some extent. It's like your first means of getting around by yourself, that old chestnut. You know, I grew up going, you know, traveling around the Southeast with my dad to go to bicycle races and time trials and stuff. And, you know, really got to kind of grow up seeing the bicycle as, you know, from that point of view. You know, I left Knoxville to follow grad school. And then, you know, work kind of led me up and down the East Coast. And then about, I guess it's probably been about 4 years now, maybe three. Me and my wife moved back down to Knoxville, and and I'm here. I met Mitchell, our CEO of Two Bikes, the other founder of Two Bikes. He was managing a shop called Dream Bikes in Knoxville, and Dream Bikes was a national nonprofit bike shop that is similar to what we do at Two Bikes. And I, you know, it was my first job working at a bike shop. I was just trying to find work around town. I had a background in video production and writing and English. I was having trouble finding a job in that field. And then I landed, you know, a part-time job at Dream Bikes with Mitchell. And soon it turned into a full-time job. And soon I became the assistant manager. And we did a lot of good work there. And then around the tail end of 2020, the pandemic had hit, things were pretty crazy, you know, the Dream Bikes was doing absolutely fantastic. We had record breaking monthly sales. The phones would not stop ringing off the hook. it was a bit nutty, you know, supply chain issues. It was like the Wild West for us. And then at the end of 2020, we received notice that Dream Bikes, the national nonprofit, was going to be closing down. We had built a good reputation and a good community around Knoxville, strong enough that we thought we could just continue doing what we were doing, with little tweaks to how Dream Bikes worked. You know, there was, because it was a national nonprofit, or, you know, there were certain things that, you know, we couldn't do, or that, like, there wasn't space enough for in the Dream Bikes program that we always wanted to do. So when we had the chance to kind of recreate the Dream Bikes experience, we jumped at it, and it was just a whirlwind. And in April of 2021, we got it off the ground, and, you know, it's been a nutty time since, and it's been a lot of fun.
So. No, that's That's awesome. And it's cool kind of stepping back a little bit, kind of growing up kind of with, the road bikes and stuff with your dad and kind of seeing all of that. And it sounds like probably, during your later years, grad school, traveling, work, everything like that, I'm guessing you stayed pretty involved with riding bikes during that time from that experience.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I went to undergrad in Chattanooga down the street, and there was a period of time where I didn't have a car, so my bike was my mode of transportation. And then I went to New York for grad school, and it's a great city to bike around, to explore. There's so much to see. So, I was, riding down to like Jacob Riis Beach and back almost every day in the summer that I could, commuting by bike. And then I moved down to Baltimore for work, and again, just using it to the bike to commute to and from work. I never got into the competitive side of cycling like my dad. I think I focused more on like viewing the bike as a form of utility, a form of transportation. I've always been a diehard bike commuter. I love bike touring. And just kind of like using the bike as a tool to experience my world in different ways, once you're out there riding around in a car, you're kind of in, it's cliche. You're in this little box, you don't really get to experience the elements, or see things in a certain way. So I've always appreciated how the bike can temper, like how I, perceive the world around me. I like the exercise of, it's nice to reap the health benefits of riding a bike. But for me, it's always been about, the utility and also the social aspect of it too. Getting together with your friends, just bopping around town. Those are the things that are important to me when it comes to bikes. And I think that, with two bikes, there are a lot of great shops around Knoxville that, there are a lot of good mountain bike shops. There's a lot of good road bike shops. We have a great community here. And when we were working at Dream Bikes and when we started Two Bikes, we still wanted to, continue to kind of fill out that one, that one section of cycling that's just regular bikes for regular people, commuting, touring, running errands, hanging out with your friends. Those are what's important values to us. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And your explanation of or kind of experience and love for bikes, as a utility and social aspect and all that, I can 100% agree with you on that. I grew up in a small town, obviously started riding bikes, that kind of stuff. It was BMX bikes. And then that became a way for all the high school friends to hang out in the on the weekends and that kind of stuff. And then kind of led me down different paths through college and everything like that. On the BMX side of things, but yeah, still kind of like, you get to explore the world in a different way and meet different people and socialize in different ways. So, definitely have that or share that same appreciation that you have from, in that aspect, in that regard to everything. So that's really cool. And then, so you kind of mentioned, how you moved back to Knoxville, started working at DreamWorks, kind of got promoted or grew kind of through that until, obviously that got shut down in a sense, but it almost seemed like that buildup between, the 2020 or whatever, whenever you started until the national organization closed down. From hearing you describe that, it sounds like there was a lot of growth and a lot of community building there. So it almost seemed or sounds like it was almost a no-brainer to kind of take that model and then obviously expand on it with some of the things that you wanted to do. But you already sort of had that community built that was looking for that kind of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, me and Mitchell's, our experience at Dream Bikes, gave us the set of tools that we needed. Not just how to run, the type of bike shop that we're running, but also how to engage the community, engage donors, private donors, grant writing, stuff like that. It was definitely like I said, it was the first time I had ever worked in a bike shop. I had been, working on my bikes for years and doing all my own work. And I, already knew my way around a bike, but you know, working at Dream Bikes was also my first like retail job too. So so there were like some things that I had to like, you know, learn, relearn, and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I mean, Dream Bikes and Two Bikes, they're a unique form of a bike shop. You know, we're not your traditional bike shop, and there's definitely some sort of bespoke ways about how to run it and how to like operate and what sort of weird hoops you have to jump through. And I think at the end of the day, Dream Bikes was like just a great stepping stone for Two Bikes. And we had already, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do at Dream Bikes that, you know, we still did, but I don't know if we were like, you know, the upper management was kind of like, I wish you wouldn't, but like just like individual fundraising, you know, for our Knoxville location was something that we started doing at Dream Bikes. And yeah, it just built this network of, you know, major players around the city and, you know, other nonprofit partnerships and everything. So we've got a great, robust network of just folks and organizations around here that, you know, help us out and we help them out. And it's just a good positive environment for places like Two Bikes and to thrive in. So
that's great. And you know, you mentioned that, you know, it's not your typical bike shop, there's the nonprofit aspect and all that. I guess what is that delineation or kind of how is it different in a sense from you know, a normal bike shop? Like, you know, obviously I know you have different programs and kind of, you know, that kind of internal mission, but let's talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, I think obviously the probably the biggest sort of difference is going to be, you know, how we maintain inventory. You know, we don't like when it was like a supply chain shortage and bikes were tough to get, new bikes, you know, we weren't really affected by that because we rely on donated bikes that we refurbish. And we either donate those bikes back to the community or we sell them as part of our retail front. So we weren't subject to those kind of specific supply chain issues. I mean, like parts and everything, you know, like we were still affected by that. But yeah, I mean, like, so we sell used bikes. So that I think is an advantage, you know, to the success of the organization. But, you know, we also, our sort of elevator pitch from the very beginning was that, you know, we donate a bike back to the community for every bike we sell. So we end up donating, you know, I think last year, 2023, it was over 300 bikes we donated back, which actually exceeded the number of bikes we sold. So that's kind of one of our core missions. We also offer our bike school, which is our youth workforce development. And we give internships to kids from around the area. Most of them come from, you know, underserved zip codes in Knoxville. We're kind of tweaking our bike school this year. Last year, the program was a 60 hours or 6 week internship. We pay them $15 an hour, which is well above minimum wage here. But this year we're kind of, our biggest complaint from in the shop from us, you know, from my bike school instructors and from the kids themselves is that the internship was just too short. so we tweaked it to double it. So it's 120 hours or 12 week long internship. In addition to kind of, you know, teaching kids how to work on bikes, you know, they learn kind of more softer skills too, like customer service, you know, just the ins and outs of working retail or dealing with people. You know, they also learn like how to operate a point of sale system, how to manage inventory. And, we had a web store too. So we were doing some kind of like e-store, like online, stuff like that. And then also a little smattering of like Photoshop, you know, taking pictures. So we try to, you know, obviously the kids enjoy working on bikes, I think, the most. But, you know, we also try to kind of, you know, let them know that, you know, there's a lot of other different things going on here, you know, that they need to learn to be successful in their futures. But yeah, we're just working, doing that. And then we also host a lot of community rides. I'm working on getting the 2024 schedule rides done, but we usually do about 3 to 4 like community rides a month. And those range from, you know, a family friendly coffee outside ride, you know, where we just kind of take a very short ride across the river to a park and make some coffee outside, to our, we have some more challenging rides that explore some of our urban wilderness and our mountain bike trails. But we try to like run the whole gamut of like, you know, rides for everybody, you know, that anybody can go to, you know, depending on their, you know, like, sorry, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, I think we, you know, there are plenty, like I said, there are plenty of great road bike shops and mountain bike shops around town, and they all offer like great fast, you know, athletic rides. And we do too, to an extent, but we try to focus more on like, you know, creating an accessible environment for people who are like, you know, from experienced cyclists to people who are just getting into it. And I think really also in general, we try to posit ourselves as more of a resource, you know, for existing and new cyclists around town. You know, we have, in addition, like I said, we have the community rides to kind of get people out, you know, and I think there's studies that show like if somebody, you know, if people go on a group ride or something, you know, when they're first starting out riding a bike, they're more likely to stick with it because, you know, they see what's possible, you know. It can be tough, you know, if you're new to riding, to like get out on the streets around cars and stuff, you know, it can be very intimidating. But I think, you know, if you go on a group ride, there's power in numbers. You can see, hey, I can ride down this hill. I can ride up this hill. I can ride on this street, you know. It's empowering. And I think it gives people confidence, not just on a bike, but in life in general. But we also offer, we have like community workbenches, you know, that are free and open to the public. You can come in, use any tool you want. You know, if we're not like super slammed, we can offer advice and how to work on your own bike. So we just kind of wanted to be a repository of information and a resource, like almost like a library of knowledge that folks could come to the shop and, you know, not feel like the bike is some mysterious machine that, you know, some rusty bike mechanic in a basement has to like work on. You know, we want to empower people to like get out there, to be able to work on their bikes, you know, and to just like demystify the whole machine and kind of like, you know, also like, I don't know, like you hear a lot of people, you know, say like coming into a bike shop can be intimidating, you know, cause like you're trying to crack into this community or whatever that might be insular, and might be exclusive, in some places. But like, we just kind of wanted to be the antithesis of that. We wanted to, you know, open our doors, be nice, and, you know, just get people on bikes out having fun and, you know, not trying to make it a stressful thing and an intimidating thing, you know. That's sort of one of our driving values, I believe. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. And I mean, there's so many, you know, different kind of layers in that are all kind of meaningful in their own way. And as you were kind of, you know, explaining, you know, you want to be a community resource, want to help teach people how to work on bikes, not make them intimidating, this and that. It just brought me back to like my middle and high school days. Like I said, I grew up in a very small town, but there was a local bike shop there. It was called Fletcher's Fix It. But usually, you know, it came to a point where that's where all my friends would go, you know, hang out if it was hot, get a drink. If we needed to work on something, you know, he would teach us how to do it. And so here's the tools. Kind of thing. So that was like always like a really it's a positive memory from kind of my childhood, in that sense, and kind of building that community around that. So it's cool that, you know, you're doing that same thing at obviously a much larger scale for others in your area. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you just covered there. So I want to kind of go back a little bit to the donation aspect of it with the bikes. donating one bike for every bike sold. I mean, that's a, it seems like a pretty big deal. So it's awesome. And you mentioned, you know, donating more than that last year, but as far as like the donation goes, how do you work with like other like nonprofits to find individuals that could use the bike, or kind of like, what is that? I don't want to say matching. It sounds kind of weird, but how do you distribute the bikes that I guess that you're donating?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if we can at all possible, we like to partner with, other nonprofits. When we first opened, I think one of our first very big, donation events we did was with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And we got a list of kids and like their heights and the color of bikes they kind of wanted. And it was like, and I think maybe like 70 bikes or something like that. And it was a pretty mad scramble to like get those all together. So I think what we learned from that was to kind of, you know, build the bikes, find an organization, and then let them match the bikes to the riders. Just made our lives easier and their lives easier, and just reduced the stress. This year too, we worked with, again, with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and some of their partnering schools around the area. In the past, we worked with Centro Hispano, which is a Latino advocacy group here in Knoxville. We're donating kids' bikes and everything like that. But we also, see the value of the bike as a form of transportation, and understand that, reliable transportation is crucial to maintaining a livelihood, you know, to getting to work on time. So we want to like kind of reach out more and get more adults on bikes, and everything in the future. And we've also worked with, Bridge Refugee Services here in Knoxville, to get like refugee families on bikes, not just for health and recreation, but for like transportation, to run errands, to get around. Cause I mean, unfortunately, Knoxville is a pretty car centric town. So our public transportation is definitely not world-class, but it is a good town to cycle around, within reason. So having a bike, to get to the grocery store, to get to work, it's life or death for some people. So we do some like individual donations, out to unhoused people or people in need. But for the most part, we try to work to simplify the process in general. We try to partner with, other organizations around town. Like I mentioned, Centro Hispano, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club, places like that. And we're always looking to expand those partnerships too. We just really want everybody to be on a bike. So it's like any sort of, partnership that, is going to be fruitful and it's going to be worthwhile, we are very interested in pursuing. I had just recently at the beginning of this year, I sat down with some folks from an Epperson ministry, which is, works with, at-risk men, kind of just getting back on their feet either after incarceration or, drug abuse, or, they're trying to get sober, healthy living. And we're talking about, it's a small program they've got, but, talking about kind of folding in, bikes and learning how to work on bikes and everything like that. Kind of like a program where they can get a bicycle, when they're ready to kind of, to go back to work or something and whatnot. I hope that answers your question.
No, it definitely did. And there's, it's cool that you have those partnerships with these other nonprofits and organizations around your area. And, it's so crazy to me to think about like something that some people might think as simple as, hey, here's this bike, two wheels, whether they're 20 inch, 24 inch, road bike, BMX bike, whatever, it can be so impactful, whether it's, like you mentioned, like being able to go to the grocery store or to work or, you know, those kind of essential needs. But then there's also the social aspect. There's the learning and exploring aspect. You know, so there's all these like different ways that people can experience and benefit from bikes outside of just thinking like, you know, the exercise and the health aspect, which obviously comes with it naturally, but it's just really cool to hear kind of, you know, you explain, those impacts and how you think about how partnering with people and helping, you know, whether kids or people in that case, that you mentioned and the internship too, which obviously kind of dives into it. You know, I think if that was the only bad feedback that you received, as far as it was too short, it sounds like it's pretty good. So, but that's awesome. And cause there's like, you're right. I mean, there's so many, you know, there's the mechanical aspect, there's the retail sales, inventory management. You know, I don't know if y'all touch into like the nonprofit part of it. I don't know if there's probably an aspect of that, but it's cool to be able to show those kids these different ways that they can use this, you know, to build skills in life or maybe pursue something else that they hadn't thought of in the first place. So, it's really cool to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, like, it's, yeah, the bicycle, like, yeah, on the surface, the bicycle is just a simple machine. You know, I think probably the majority of, you know, the population sees a bicycle as just a, you know, a form of recreation or working out or exercise, you know, but like, yeah, it does, it contains magnitudes, you know, even I think right down to like a societal, you know, if you put it through that lens, you know, like I think, you know, cycling is part of like a healthy city, a healthy society, I think, you know, be it transportation or whatnot. And yeah, and I think, you know, teaching the kids those skills, like it builds a sort of feeling of self-sufficiency. I think that's really important. You know, that's going to be used throughout their lives. I mean, I know, you know, when I first moved to Baltimore, I was a little scared about like, you know, like which routes I would take to commute to work. And, you know, but once I kind of got out there, once I kind of figured my own way, you know, I became more confident, you know, not just like riding my bike on the streets, but I think just in like general in life. And we kind of want to instill that in the kids and everybody who comes through our door. You know, it's the same thing you know, with the public workbenches. If we can teach somebody how to change their flat tire, I think that just adds just a little bit more confidence to their general life, I guess. You know,
yeah.
I feel like I'm rambling, but yeah, I mean, it's such a simple machine, but there's just layers and layers and layers on it that like, it just goes beyond itself. And, you know, it just becomes this kind of magical thing, you know. Sorry to sound so cheesy about it, but like, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, you can approach it from like a transportation equality side, you can approach it from, you know, like a social side or a, you know, athletic side. And, you know, it's just, it fills a lot of voids and a lot of, wears a lot of hats, you know, cycling does and everything like that. And it's been good to us. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I mean, like I said, all that completely makes sense to me. And like, even you mentioned like the workbenches and, you know, teaching others how to work on their bike, you know, that might give them the confidence obviously to work on their bike next time something's wrong with it, but maybe something's wrong around the house or something like that. And they're like, oh, hey, maybe I can fix this myself. I know how to do this. Why can't I do that? So I just think there's, you know, those hidden effects as you mentioned that like build confidence in other areas of their lives, not just specifically when they're on the bike or working on the bike, around the bike, et cetera. So, yeah. You know, that's awesome. And, you know, with so much stuff kind of, you know, like I said, so many different layers of how you all impact the community. Is there anything kind of on the horizon as far as, or maybe something that we didn't cover, of, you know, what, you know, if you're looking to adding something or expanding or just kind of continuing to make the impact that you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think Mitchell and me, we've always been, you know, like even two bikes itself was just like, what if, you know, like, what if we just try to do this? So a lot of like the kind of ethos behind two bikes is just like, let's try this. Let's see if this works. If this doesn't work, we'll circle back around, try something new. So I think a lot of what we do at Two Bikes is like, I mean, you know, we just always try to grow. So like a lot of our programs, you know, we look back, we see what didn't work, what did work. So they're always constantly evolving. Like with the bike school, we're always tweaking it. So the bikes, I'm excited to see how the new kind of the redesigned bike school goes this year. I'm excited to spend more time with the kids. It's a shame because I know like every now and then, you know, Tan, our bike school instructor will mention you one kid's name. And I'm like, oh, I totally forgot about that kid. And I feel guilty. But, you know, we had 40 kids come through last year, which is great. And they've all been great. And a lot of them are just like, you know, the bike school is just growing because they come to the school and they tell their friends about it. And then their friends are coming in like, I want to do this. And their friends will do that. So, you know, it's growing. When we first started out, you know, we were trying to recruit kids. You know, we were like reaching out to guidance counselors at high schools and being like, hey, like, let your kids know we've got this opportunity here. Reaching out to Boys and Girls Club and just trying to like build interest. And now, you know, our waiting list is like a year long. So that is success for us. I'm looking forward to seeing how that kind of pans out. And I have high hopes for it. We also, in terms of like community events, this April we'll be doing, I put together like a big bike swap, you know, where people from around the area can come in, rent, they get a vendor's table, they can buy, sell, or trade used bike parts and everything like that. We have a bike show, you know, each year, this will be the third year we've done it. And obviously each year it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think we're just working on it and building it up to like the hopes that it becomes this kind of like touchstone event, not just for Knoxville, but, you know, for the whole region, East Tennessee, you know, Western North Carolina. So we're kind of working on building that up and, you know, and then, yeah, it's just always just like constantly just trying to figure out new and novel ways to get people excited about bikes, you know? And sometimes you can pull your hair out trying to think about how can I make this one bike ride more interesting than the last? But that's also sort of the fun about it, you know, just like constantly tinkering with what a bike shop can offer its community, you know, in terms of just like fun things to do, but also like more like, you know, I don't know, the words are escaping me right now, but more of a like a holistic approach to like creating that community, if that makes sense. Like I said, I don't think we've ever done the same thing twice in a year, you know. And you know, so far it's, you know, it's done us right, and we haven't, you know, I certainly wouldn't say there haven't been any missteps at all, but you know, like that's to be expected, you know, when you're trying new things constantly. And, but it's also what makes it exciting. So, yeah. And also probably, I think the biggest thing for 2024 is opening our second location down in Chattanooga, which is about 100 miles south of us here in Knoxville. Mitchell's down there right now. I believe he's finalizing the lease on the retail space this week. And hopefully by this spring, our second location will be open. I think one of our strengths is that ever since we began, we have left a kind of breadcrumb trail of how to recreate two bikes in the case that it might become a successful organization that could be franchised. We're very excited to open up the second location as kind of not only just to kind of expand into a great city, which Chattanooga is, but also kind of stress test our infrastructure that we've been building for the past 3 years. So we're really, really excited about that new shop down there in Chattanooga.
Yeah, that's cool that you're expanding that way. or and looking at that, and you know, definitely a good way to test that and test that in a new community in that sense. But you know, in that sense, you're also building your community and being able to impact more people that way as well. So hopefully that works out as well. But yeah, lots of fun things planned for the new year. Kind of that continual kind of experimentation to make things better and create that impact. And so that kind of brings me out to the question I always kind of ask our guests is, you know, one piece of advice that our guests, our audience can take away. And, you know, in your case, you know, it's such a unique model of how the shop is run. And then you have all these different programs. And then each year you're doing something else and layering to it that might not be not conventional in the sense of a typical bike shop. For, you know, maybe it's another bike shop or another business or something that kind of has like the same drive or passion. I guess for those business owners that might be tinkering with these kind of ideas that might not, like I said, might not seem kind of, you know, typical or orthodox in that sense, what would you suggest to them to like try and get started and kind of do something that might kind of seem off the wall and kind of see how it goes and kind of build that community that they want to do just outside of their normal business, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just taking that first step, you know, it's sort of just going back to working on your own bike. You know, if you see a problem, you identify a problem or, you know, something that could be done, you know, and you don't know how to do it, just doing the legwork to kind of figure that out and then just taking that first step and, you know, just doing it. I feel for me personally, and professionally, it's always been, you know, the scariest thing ever. But like, you know, hesitating and just like kind of putting things off or, doubting yourself, like those are usually what like stagnates things for me. And, you know, sometimes around the shop. So really the hardest part, but also like it's just getting going, you know? But like once you get going, all those things that like seemed unreal or like impossible, like you just get one step closer to it. It seems more possible the closer you get to it. When me and Mitchell found out that Dream Bikes was closing, we had always kind of like, it's like, oh yeah, like we love this job, you know, we love working together. You know, like if it ever goes away, we'll just start our own bike shop. Ha ha. and then, you know, then the reality came to be and it was just like, are we going to do it or not? And, you know, we just buckled down and, you know, between November and April, November 2020 and April 21, like we had a brick and mortar shop that we could walk into. And, you know, I still remember like the first day coming into the shop after it had been, you know, built out and everything like that. And just being like, I can't, you know, I mean, a month ago, if you had told me that this would be a reality, I'd be like, all right, whatever. But like, you know, we just put our noses down, made it happen. You know, we reached out to people. That's another thing too. I would say, if you feel like you've got a support network, don't be afraid to lean on that support network to ask them, you know, for help, for resources. Like that's probably one of the biggest thing too I've learned throughout all of this is just like the power of just asking for help. And then the, you know, the positive reaction from the community, from individuals, that have come to our aid, you know, that have helped us out and lifted us up has surprised me. It surprises me to this day. What you're able to get if you just reach out and ask. My advice is just to be like it might seem like a big step, but just do it, you know, just do it, I guess. Yeah. We live in like, you know, like working on bikes, working around your house. We live in a time where like all knowledge is available on, you know, online and, it might take some time, but like, it's all there. It's all there. So.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's great advice, you know, from the network to just kind of take that first step and get going. And it doesn't, it slowly gets less scary or less intimidating the further you get along. And then, one day it's all there. So no, I love that. And then, so to that point, where can people find you online? Get involved if they're in the area, see what you're up to, and so on.
Yeah. You know, you can, our website is twobikes.org. That's twobikes.org. We've got a lot of, we have our events calendar up there, which it's not fully, fleshed out. So if you're in the area, come March, and you're looking for something to do, check out our events calendar. We always got something to do for everybody. There is a way if you feel like donating, you can donate through our, webpage as well as become a member. And we have some perks for memberships as well, which is, again, speaking of new things, trying out, we've launched that membership, this year. If you're in town, just stop by and say hello. We always love dorking out about bike talk. We've got a lot of cool things in the shop. Because we rely on donated bikes, all our bikes are refurbished, a lot of cool old parts and old bikes come through. So it's a great place for a bike nerd like me or somebody else to come in and just like peruse old parts. You can also check us out at Two Bikes Knoxville on Instagram. If you want to look at pictures of cool bikes, which I like to do. If you are in the area and you want to volunteer, we're always looking for people to come in and help build bikes if they want, and help with some events that we have around usually throughout the year. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, everybody, definitely make sure you check him out. I know, usually I don't get out that way, but if I ever find myself traveling that way, I'm definitely gonna pop in because I love what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing for your community through, as I mentioned before, something as simple as two wheels. So with that, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story, and I wish you all the best of luck.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you've made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.